The Batman has an official director, but do we even have the Batman anymore? And who might direct Suicide Squad 2? What the hell is going on in the DC Universe?
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC Movie News.
Yeah! What's up, everybody? Didn't know if the music was kicking in, but we had the fists in there. That's all that matters.
Nope, still no with the music.
A weird week it's been in the DC universe. We got to get right into it. First off, we are at DC Movies SK on Twitter, facebook.com/DC Movies SK. Adam Gertler is in New York City. Follow him at Adam Gertler.
And he's doing something cool, too.
What's he doing? I'm sure it's cool.
Now I forget if I'm supposed to say, but I think I can.
Food?
He's seeing a movie. Did he talk to us about this?
Oh, he's doing some...
He's doing some Logan press.
Talkings.
Yeah, yes. He's doing some Logan press, which is cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he told us that.
I thought it might be food related, but no, he did say that.
Don't get mad.
No one's mad.
Why are you so mad?
Hey, I'm Johnny LaQuasto, guys. Find me on Twitter at JQuasto. The lovely lady right there has some of the best superhero outfits I've ever seen.
Yeah, this one included.
She's a cosplayer. She's a host. She's brilliant. She's funny. She's hot. You can find her on Twitter at Alana Jordan.
I love you.
She's Alana Jordan.
Hey, everybody. I'm Alana Jordan. You can find me on Twitter at Alana Jordan and on Instagram at that Alana Jordan girl.
That's right. And next to her is the crown jewel of the DC Movie News Show. Also the host of TV Fights on Screen Junkies. Find her on Twitter at Roxy Stryer because she be Roxy Stryer.
She do be.
Yeah.
Not do be like doobie. She do be Roxy Stryer.
She do be you be Roxy Stryer.
No, you be.
No, you be. You be Roxy Stryer.
Oh, I be.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I be Roxy Stryer. Yeah, and it's awesome that we're here. I'm sad that Mike and Adam aren't here. Cool that Adam's doing all that press, but
breaking news. Mike Kalinowski's first episode of Jane the Virgin aired this week.
Woo-hoo!
And we could not be more proud of him. He's not here today. He's busy doing things. I can't really tell you what he's doing, but you could take a guess. But yes.
So we're not really breaking news because probably fans of the show also watch Jane the Virgin and probably already saw him. So I don't know if we're breaking it because it happened.
But it's exciting. I mean, that's our top story is Mike Kalinowski joined the cast of Jane the Virgin this week. And we cannot be happier or more proud of him, which is awesome.
Yeah.
That's great news.
Yep, that is.
So
congrats,
that's
Mikey. We love you.
That's one positive thing in the DC universe this week.
We got one.
Hey,
thanks, Mikey.
You got to take those victories where you
present.
Can get them. Yes,
that's what that was.
Yeah, there were other attempted Christmas presents this week.
Or a couple lumps of coal.
Definitely not Hanukkah presents.
We're talking Suicide Squad 2. Are we going to hit that right away?
I think we got to get to it.
I mean, there's multiple things. I mean, there's the whole Affleck thing coming from Campia and Collider, which is weird. But I think first things first, do we want to go your boy?
Oh, my boy.
I'm just saying, do you want to go your boy?
Oh, is he my boy?
Is he anyone's?
But
somebody's apparently, because he's the only name that is even being thrown out for Suicide Squad 2.
He grows a strong beard, I'll tell you that much.
Can you just tell the people what we're talking about right now, Johnny?
Because
we got to get into this story.
Apparently, Warner Brothers, in their infinite wisdom, is courting Mel Gibson to possibly direct Suicide Squad 2. And I'll tell you what, from what I've seen online, between fans, this is very divided. There's some people that are like, I know he's crazy, but he makes great movies. And there's other people that are like, hell no, we won't go. So it's very, it's kind of split down the middle.
It's odd they would pick somebody so divisive after a movie that, as the sequel to a movie that, while financially did well, that fans kind of panned overall. So it's like, why would you pick somebody who so many people are inherently not on board with?
I'm going to lose followers over this, and I, frankly...
Who cares?
I don't care, because this is something I am very passionate about. Here's the thing. There's a lot of talented directors. There's a lot of talented actors. Yep. There's a lot of talented producers. There is no loss or lack of talent in the industry. There's too much talent here. There are talented people that never get the chance to actually work.
Very true.
There are really, 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 like anybody who isn't in this industry, I'm explaining this because people might not know how many talented people there are.
Mm-hmm.
I promise you that there is somebody as fit to direct this movie, if not more fit, and I could name a bunch of people, than Mel Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
Mel Gibson is an anti-Semite.
Yes.
Yeah. He is anti-Semitic. His father doesn't believe that the Holocaust ever took place. He's said out loud that his father has never told a lie a day in his life, and he believes what his father tells him. He's an anti-Semitic person working in Hollywood. Yeah. He is consistently working. He's always getting work.
Well, not so much anymore.
He is. Yeah. Recently. Well,
yeah. I mean, everybody's losing it over Hacksaw Ridge. He's nominated. Right. And I mean,
oh, right.
And I haven't seen Hacksaw Ridge, so I don't know how good it is, but it has to be amazing to the point that people are willing to overlook things that, I'm with you, Roxy, I feel like shouldn't be overlooked.
I don't think it can. Everybody's like, but he's talented. I agree. I'm not saying he's not talented. I'm saying he's a bad dude. Mm-hmm. This isn't somebody who's just said something that, like, I don't personally agree with.
This is, yeah.
He's hating on an entire group of people. And yes, it's closer and near and dear to my heart because I happen to be Jewish.
Sure.
But I don't understand why we allow people, racist people, sexist people, people who are anti-certain religion, to be working in this industry when there are other people.
And
not only are we allowing it, but we're courting him. Recording him.
I mean,
even the verbiage on that.
He blatantly says, because when they asked him in the Q&A, he said it's kind of a first date. And you're like, what? What?
Yeah, and he's trying to put a spin on comments he said in the past. Bottom line is he flat out said a lot of really awful things, whether it's, you know, obviously anti-Semitic, misogynistic. I mean, he's done a lot of things, and he's said a lot of things. And so I'm completely on board with you for that. I mean, there's a lot of talented people out there. And Warner Brothers is not doing – they have not done themselves any favors in this past year with a lot of their decisions. I don't know what – to me, this speaks of – and look, he may not be the director. I know they're looking at other people. But if you hire Mel Gibson for this, to me, it almost just shows how Warner Brothers – how out of touch they really are.
This is the thing. In the chat right now, people are talking about your president is a racist. Tom Cruise is a Scientologist.
Yeah, well
– I'm not giving my political opinions on that currently. But what I will say is I don't believe it's – I'm not standing up for that. I'm not sitting here telling you that one thing's right and the other thing's wrong.
All we're saying is we don't want to see a poster of Harley Quinn with sugar tits as the caption.
Wow.
Yes.
I forgot about that quote.
But...
Yes. And again, is he talented? Could he do this movie well? Maybe.
Probably.
Could he do it better than other people? No, I'm not going to give him that. Mm-hmm. And should he be given the chance? No. We have to put our foot down somewhere. We have to.
Well, I feel like it also kind of steps a little bit on Gotham Sirens and Gotham City Sirens and on, you know, a lot of what they're trying
Will
to do.
Smith's
if they're
potential
saying
potential spinoff.
Right. And if they're trying to say, like, they're doing all of, you know, like, empowerment, representation, all this stuff, and then you pick somebody who's like, I don't like this group of people or this group of people, then you're like, what?
Well, our buddy Alan Sizzler Kistler is in chat roll right now, and he has a, you know, really good comment here. He said, how are you going to have a director who's a bigot and sees no problem with rape direct a movie with protagonists who have suffered racism, mental assault, and sexual assault? I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. I truly can't believe it. And unfortunately, we the people have given Warner Brothers almost the clear to do something like this.
Because we went to see the movies.
Because we go to see these movies, and I'm not even saying that I'm not to blame for some of this. I also didn't go see Hacksaw Ridge, but I've seen his movies in the past. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, okay, he has star power. He sells. So maybe we should align with that.
Yeah.
But I also feel like because this is a day and age where we do have the internet and we do have, you know, that direct link from fans, and because there's already such an outcry, I'm hoping that this will be a situation where Warner Brothers will kind of take a step back and reexamine, because especially if you're saying, here is our band of lovable villains, and then you get somebody who once was lovable and now in the public eye is portrayed as...
Look, I'm with you both. I've been saying this for months on the show. Warner Brothers, to me, is getting a much shorter leash as far as faith. Abigail, with a great comment in chat roll. Here's a good question. Why look for a Suicide Squad 2 director when The Flash still doesn't have a director? Yeah. I mean,
it is a good question.
I just don't know what the hell Warner Brothers is doing.
There's an answer to that, and the answer is money, honey. Suicide Squad 1 made them so much money, they don't know what The Flash is going to do. They already have a Flash TV show to tide people's appetite, and that is making them money at the moment. I think we talked about the fact that those shows together annually or something have made $1 billion.
It's true.
They're doing... don't quote me on that because I don't remember the exact statistic, but The Flash, people are satisfied with right now. We don't know what the money's going to look like. Suicide Squad 2, is going to make a crap ton of money.
And in marketing.
Yes, and in marketing, absolutely. I mean, Harley sells.
Yeah.
Margot sells. Will Smith sells. That's just the way that it is now. And people wanted to see more of the Joker.
And the people who greenlight now don't look at content. They look at numbers in binders. They don't watch the movie as much as they watch the figures.
Right. And I'm with you. I think it'll make a lot of money. But honestly, I think it's going to have to be a decent movie to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
This time around.
I don't know.
I feel like even if the movie tanks, then they'll do another brand with Hot Topic. They'll launch a whole clothing line. They'll have a whole doll line that is very successful. They'll have the toy. They'll have all of the marketing materials that then come back and make them enough money that I feel like it's looking like they're not even looking at content. They're just like, whatevs.
I have a hard time thinking that the movie would tank, though, Johnny, because they are listening to people, and it wasn't the characters that people didn't enjoy.
Sure.
People weren't like, ooh, Deadshot, no. Harley,
characters
no.
Are great.
So usually a sequel will tank because you didn't like the characters to start. Like, i.e., if we'd had a Fantastic Four sequel, people would have been like, what? We weren't behind those characters.
Mm-hmm.
Now it has to do with the storyline and what they do. So I think it has actually a high success at being successful, but will I go see it if Mel Gibson is directing it? That's the question.
I'm with you, and I don't think it's going to end up being that way, but it's very weird to me that they would even, you know, have him in for a meeting. But apparently there's a story here that says Will Smith wanted him, but the studio initially said no for some other movie he was doing. So
it's challenging because a lot of these big wigs in Hollywood, like Mel Gibson is and like Will Smith is, they're friends. I don't know if they particularly are, but I'm saying that in general, a lot of these celebrities, that's like their group of friends. So I don't know, maybe he has a personal connection with them, or maybe he doesn't. Maybe he just really likes his talent and can look past the fact that he is a misogynistic, anti-Semitic piece of poopy.
Right,
he's a piece of poopy.
Well, that's a good bow to tie on this story. As we move on, we'll get to some positivity at some point. So we have to talk about this because it made big news.
Yes.
So and we're friends with Collider, so we're not going to disparage anything that was said, but John Campia is the head honcho over there, and he mentioned on the Collider Movie Podcast this week that he spoke to three different people all attached to the Batman project, or at Warner Brothers, if you will, and he says that Affleck wants out.
Okay.
As the Batman.
He started the quote by saying, take this with a major, major grain of salt. Biggest grain of salt that possibly is.
Yeah.
So by no means did he at any point say, hey guys, this is fact. And I just want to be, I'm not saying that what you're saying is wrong at all. I just want to be clear, because when I tweeted about this, everybody was like, did you not see that he said take it with a grain of salt? I did see that. I definitely did. I'm just commenting on what happened after that. So that's what we're going to do at this table right now. Comment on what happened after the grain of salt.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is the
actual
rumor.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, look, when you say something that extreme, you have to expect. Look at what Sasha did months ago. I mean, a couple months, maybe not even a couple months
Probably
ago.
Probably a month and a half ago.
Yeah. I mean, she was on Collider. They saw what happened. So Campia knew if he said something like this, Collider's got a big following. He knew it was going to get a reaction.
It has to have some sort of
viable
source, or you wouldn't say it.
You can say, take this with all the grains of salt that you possibly want. It doesn't matter if you say that. People are only going to hear the main chunk of it, and that's what they're going to report. So all this is like a firestorm, and you know, if it gets more people to Collider, hey, good for them. But that's a strong thing to say.
Terry in the chat said Campia went on Collider Heroes the next day and said it. Affleck definitely wants out.
Yeah.
You know, this is what Adam would be sitting here right now. Adam called this from day one, and I'm not saying it's true, but Adam said to us, he announced it on the show, and he, before the director thing happened, before any of it, he said, I wouldn't be surprised if they end up casting somebody else to play Batman in the solo films. He said that. And we all were like, huh? What? No way. He's producing, writing, directing, and starring in it.
Sure.
And then slowly, he was no longer the only writer, and he was no longer the director, and he, you know, started pulling back, and everybody started saying, I wonder. I still would love to believe that he is going to be Batman. I can't fathom a world in which there is another Batman right now while he is so hot.
I feel like also
not hot,
I just,
like sexy, just
yeah, just
on the scene.
Oh no, he's sexy.
And sexy.
Well, all of the definitions of the word.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like Warner Brothers isn't going to want to let him out of that. I feel like they're just going to renegotiate until they get him to stay. I feel like it's...
You think it might be a money thing, or do you think it's a timing thing?
No, I think it's a, I think it's a personal and timing thing. I think Live by Night didn't do as well as he thought. I think that was a blow to his ego. I think he doesn't want to be billed as just Batman. He wants to make sure that he's serious. I think he doesn't want another, you know, Jenny from the Block situation where people kind of are like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he wants to be considered serious.
But he is. I mean, after Argo, he reached that status.
Right, which is true. But I mean, I feel like he wants to keep going back to the work that he is, you know, personally tied to. And if he's already not directing it, he's not writing it, his personal stamp isn't on it anymore. So now he's going to be taking direction from somebody else. And he's just going to be a part of somebody else's vision. I could see him easily saying, well, my time is better spent doing something else.
So I kind of asked this to you
but
guys.
I don't think Warner Brothers is going
to
let him out.
I kind of asked this to you guys last week, and I have an opinion on this, but I want to get yours first. If he is not acting in this anymore, say that he is no longer playing Batman, is it because the studio said to him, hey, we need you to take a step back from this. You're so busy. So. Or is it because he said, hey, I no longer want to be a part of this project?
I think he's fed up with Warner Brothers, personally. And here's the question. Does he become part of the Justice League sequel as well? Or is he just out? Or is he just not?
We can't have two. How are we going to? I know we have them in TV and also in the comics and in animation movies, too. But how are we going to have two live-action Batman in the same universe at the same time?
Especially when DC is kind of moving more towards the Marvel format where they all link together. So it's like when you do have these crossover movies, then which Batman do you use?
Do we just never see Bruce Wayne and the whole movie is just Batman and they're just trying to mimic Affleck's Batman voice? Like... And use his costume? I mean, come on. This is crazy. He's got to be Batman. We love him as Batman. We want him as Batman. I want him as involved in this project as possible.
I think that there's a producer at Warner Brothers screaming exactly what you are saying right now in a room, probably right now.
Here's the thing,
while
Affleck,
his people are like, well.
Yeah.
Affleck's at a point in his career he can call his own shots. He's got all the money he'll ever need. And so if he's like, I'm not invested in this anymore, he can back away. Would I be shocked if he does? Yeah. But at the same time, you know, It's an interesting thing to get out there, and Collider certainly did that.
Canucks fan says, holy, so many effing idiots believing this rumor. I'm not saying I believe the rumor. We're just discussing it.
We're not saying that we think that anything is going to actually come of it. We just think that because so many people are saying we have sources that he is discontent with the current situation, we're kind of inclined to believe that from what we've seen... He could potentially be getting frustrated to the point that he's over it.
Our job is to talk about the biggest stories in the DC universe. And right now, the top two, Mel Gibson and Ben Affleck, maybe want it out.
MK Songbird says, if Ben Affleck does leave the Batman role, the DCEU will end after Justice League. What do you guys think about that?
No. Mm-mm. There's too much already planned.
Yeah. Because contractually, what is he obliged to do right now? Is it just Justice League? Is Ben off the hook after Justice League, or is he off the hook after Justice League 2? What is his contract? Was it three movies? Was it six? If you guys know in the chat, sorry that I don't have this offhand. I am curious if we are aware of what his contract is, because we know he's contracted to do Justice League, but is he contracted to do a second one?
That's the question. And maybe they could have already been filming parts of the Justice League sequel while doing the first one, so you don't know. Maybe he would just make a clean break after... JL2? I don't know. But it's a weird thing that this came out over the last couple of days, and it's something we definitely got to keep an eye on for sure.
I would rather see no Batman standalone movie than a Batman standalone without Ben Affleck at this point.
Really?
Yes. Mm. Yes. Absolutely. I would rather see no Batman standalone.
I would rather them just take a breath and say, you know what? This isn't working out, because sometimes it's like a relationship. Like, sometimes it's right person, wrong time. Like, just say...
Timing's everything.
This is good.
Yes.
Just take a break. Say, let's focus on some of these other movies. We'll circle back to Batman. Give Ben a little break and then come back.
What if Bale's like, I want in? What if he wants to come back?
Maybe.
Toss it out.
Maybe. So Mark says, after Justice League 2. Sion says he's contracted for Justice League 2. But we did have some other people saying that he's out after the Neon Empire. He's only obligated to do Justice League and that's it. Other people are saying three movies. Some people are saying nine movies. Maybe this is where some of our confusion lies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows? Moving on, though. We have a director for the Batman officially, and that is Matt Reeves. So I know we talked about it in the last couple of weeks of who was rumored and stuff like that. So Matt Reeves is now official, everybody. So
I would like to be positive about this, and it's not that I'm not, because I'm a fan of his work, but it gets so overshadowed by what's going on. Like, yeah. We have a director for a movie that I'm having a hard time getting excited about because I don't know what's happening.
Still a couple years away.
Yes, right? It is. Maybe. Well, we don't know. They might try to slip it in an earlier spot. I like him.
Slide up in the DMs. Get that movie in there.
I sang that the other day. It goes down in the DM. Do you know that song?
No.
Do you know
it? It goes down in the DM.
I wish I wrote it.
It goes down.
I like it.
It sounds like a genius lyrical masterpiece.
That's what I was thinking to myself.
Well, there you go.
I sing that. Nobody knew what I was talking about. Do you guys know in the chat? Come on. Give me some love.
But yeah, Matt Reeves, Cloverfield, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Obviously a very busy guy.
Yeah. So. Yeah, let me
the
in.
Planet of the Apes. Uh-huh. A lot of prepositional phrases.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And he's very talented. He's done some interesting genres. This would be different, but in some ways, I think it would really, really work well. We don't know who our Batman is at this point, so we don't know what this would look like.
No, we don't.
It has to be so weird for him right now, too, being brought in at such a weird, tumultuous time where it's like, okay, congratulations, you're going to direct this movie. That we may or may not be giving you a box of turds and telling you to polish real nice.
It's also but possible
he is great, so he may be able to polish him up.
It's also possible he might know more than we all do. He might already know what's happening, and they're just like, hey, mum's the word. So either way, though, if someone offers you the Batman, you'll take it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you think so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
I'll direct the Batman. You want me to?
If I asked you, you would?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't seem too sold on me directing the Batman.
Well, no, I just don't seem so sold on you accepting that.
Oh.
Because I guess it puts you on the map, but like...
You think I have standards?
There's a lot of pressure.
I will say yes.
Okay.
And I will deal with it. Right. So yeah, congratulations to Matt Reeves. This is interesting. Deathstroke, possibly in Justice League. Apparently it's becoming more apparent that it's going to happen.
Based on the synopsis that was talked about. Yeah, I'm not shocked by that, but we still don't know to what extent how much he will be in it.
Maybe one scene breaking Lex out.
Yeah, based on... I don't know. What do you think?
The test footage scene looked cool that they had that was in front of the Batcave.
And that's why I'm not shocked by it, because of the way that the timing in which things are filmed, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. I just don't know what the actual role will be in the film.
Well, I mean, Steppenwolf really wouldn't have much use for him, so the best theory would be Lex, maybe one scene breaking him out of the asylum.
That's what I would think, right? Because there wouldn't be, I think, enough room in the movie for too much of a storyline.
But hey, if you can give us a little dash of Deathstroke.
Sprinkle it in, why not?
Are you doing Salt Bae?
Yeah.
Yeah, I finally I know who that is.
Me too.
He looks like Robert Downey Jr., right?
But Salt Bae.
But he's a dude.
Yeah.
Who is he?
Because remember, Mikey Chef? Christmas was telling us all about Salt Bae. Have you seen this meme for Salt Bae?
It's a guy that does the video where he sprinkles. He's an actual dude,
but it's been memed everywhere.
He looks like Robert Downey Jr.
Okay. I think we've gotten off topic a little bit. I'm not sure, though.
Which is fine.
From Iron Man to Salt Man.
So, yeah.
All the elements were
fine. Oh, my God!
What?
Speaking of from Iron Man to Salt Man.
Okay.
I saw Lego Batman.
Yeah.
Which, have you seen it?
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay. Sorry. I know this wasn't a rundown, but I have to talk about it.
No, Lego Batman's in there, yeah.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, and I just jumped ahead to it?
Hit it.
Okay. So, here's the deal. I will give no spoilers.
Heard it's amazing.
I will give no spoilers. How do I talk about it without getting spoilers? It was awesome. Oh, my God. It was so good. It was funny. I'm not in the camp that says, like, this is the best Batman movie that ever existed. Because it was, like, it was a Batman movie, but it was a different kind of movie. So it's like comparing, I don't even like saying apples and oranges because I like apples better than oranges. That's always been so basic to me. But it's like comparing apples to dogs. Like, you know, you like them both. Mm-hmm. So this movie was great. I had so much fun with it. I think that they really, really nailed the tone, and they were able to poke fun of themselves in really interesting ways. Warner Brothers was. I loved the surprise characters that they brought in. Mm-hmm. And
a lot of Easter eggs, too, I heard.
A lot of Easter eggs. Yeah.
I'm excited to see it. Some fun ones. I do have to say, though, if you're comparing apples and dogs, there's a clear winner. Like, dogs win.
No doubt.
See, I love apples.
If someone says, do you want to go hang out in a big room full of apples or a big room full of puppies?
Would you like to go apple picking?
Only if with there's a puppy. Dogs.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, a lot of Easter eggs here. It says, also number one film in the country. I guess it didn't make quite as much as they were hoping, but it made almost $60 million in its opening weekend. But it gave homage to the Dark Knight trilogy, to Bane. I mean, you saw it. To Dark Knight Rise. It basically gave a lot of,
there
like,
was
little,
a Marvel blow in there.
Of course.
That's why I transferred over when we were talking about Iron Man, because it reminded me. But yeah, it was really, really good. And it was a perfect length. And the voices were all great. They just did such a good job. I will say that I don't think that Zach Galifianakis's Joker was exactly what I was, not everything that I wanted it to be. It was, it really steered away from any of the Joker tropes, but I think that's what he was probably trying to do. So good for him.
Yeah.
Nice.
Will Arnett killed it.
And you know who else did a great job and always does a great job? Blue Apron, our sponsor on the show, the number one fresh ingredient and a recipe delivery service in the country, all right? They want to make home cooking accessible and easy and delicious and healthy, and this is what they do. Over 150 local farms. The seafood is sustainably sourced under standards developed in partnership with the Monterey Bay Aquarium. Whether it's beef, chicken, pork, whatever, it's all responsibly raised, all right? 95% of food, it's all great. It's fantastic stuff. And you cook together with your family. You can spend under $10 a meal. Here's the deal. Here's some upcoming meals. Chicken cashew stir fry.
Oh,
we got roasted pork with apple, walnut, and farro salad. We got crispy barramundi with quinoa, roasted carrot salad. All this stuff coming up. I don't know how to cook any of that, but apparently you can do it with Blue Apron.
No, you really would be able to do it, because I'm not kidding you. Blue Apron is fantastic. Like, they write it out for you. It is, they make it foolproof.
I could even do it. I made really good food. The only time I've ever been, like, really impressed with myself was when I had Blue Apron, and I was like, everyone, look what I did.
You feel like a legitimate chef, no joke.
I love it. And yeah, less than $10 a meal. Choose from a variety of new recipes every single week, or let the culinary team surprise you. Recipes are not repeated within a year. That's insane. You're never going to get bored. It's super flexible. Each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow process, under 40 minutes. Wow. And their freshness guarantee promises every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook, or they'll make it right. Real simple. So you got to go to blueapron.com/movienews, and you get the first 3 meals free. You're going to eat for free with Blue Apron.
Yeah, that's amazing. Honestly, I love it.
It really is very, very good.
Absolutely. You're going to love it. So it's going to taste incredible. Home-cooked meals. Do it for yourself. Do it for your health. Go to blueapron.com/movienews and tell them that we sent you. Or don't tell them, but you're going to get the discount anyway.
Or do it for your loved ones.
Yes.
You don't just have to do it for yourself.
For your lovers.
For the lovers and friends.
So Schwarzenegger, this is a weird transition, but...
just the weird gets newser. The news gets weirder and weirder.
From cooking, heating it up to freezing it
down. Yeah.
So this goes back to the John Cleese thing, when John Cleese started getting followed on Twitter.
Yeah, I feel like this is a very, very loose thing. When people say, okay, two people followed him on Twitter, so therefore...
So the actual story is that Patty Jenkins and Wonder Woman's official account followed...
And Jeff Johns.
Jeff Johns.
Oh, and Jeff Johns.
Jeff Johns and Patty Jenkins.
Patty Jenkins and Jeff Johns followed Schwarzenegger on Twitter, therefore he must be showing up in Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm. I feel like, therefore, he has been posting really funny tweets lately, and a lot of people have been following him more.
You think? Has he?
Well, not necessarily funny, but kind of...
Shut up!
Yeah.
Very, like, abrupt. They're entertaining.
Just quotes of his bad quotes. You got to be cool! Like, you know, from all his little anecdotes.
Yeah.
All his one-liners. So who knows?
This is what they were saying about John Cleese, though. They were saying... If you are weary of this evidence and saying, like, oh, two people following, that's not true. Remember, that's what we were talking about when Zack Snyder and Ben Affleck followed John Cleese on Twitter in late 2016. And that caused the rumors that he was going to be in Justice League. And then they were confirmed last month. So it does happen sometimes. So I want to sit here and be like, why are we talking about this? Two people followed him on Twitter. If he was to be in Wonder Woman.
But I feel like that's a different situation, because it wasn't one where people were like, oh, you know, have you seen John Cleese tweets? Like, you know, like that's not, it wouldn't make sense for them to follow him otherwise, versus Schwarzenegger. Other people are, I mean, they didn't say, look at all these other people who followed him this week as well.
Yeah. Right.
You know, like, if he is, though,
if he is, like, how on earth, what do we picture him doing in Wonder Woman?
God, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I don't even know. It would have to be, like, just a small cameo, something, not...
I can tell you
who won't have a small cameo in Justice League. That's Lawrence Fishburne. He kind of confirmed this week that he will not be in the JL.
Mm-hmm. I love him.
I love him, too.
I just love him.
I mean, he'll show up again, but just not in JL, apparently.
I love him.
Also, this is really interesting. So, apparently Common was due to be Jon Stewart.
Yeah.
Like, in the movie that was never made.
Yeah.
I just didn't realize that they had gotten so far with that movie when they pulled the plug on it.
They were doing rehearsals.
This was the unbelievable part. This is what he says. The script was super dope. It was intricate, and knowing George Miller was going to do it, you know... that's not the quote that I wanted to read. I wanted to do the one about him actually going there that he talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, where did he say that? He said that he actually went to Australia.
I was cast, and we started rehearsals for the film. I went to Australia, tried on the outfit and everything. It was heartbreaking, but it happened.
Yeah, that one. Like, what?
Man.
And he followed up with, the script was super dope. It was intricate. Knowing George Miller was going to do it, you knew it was going to have that raw edge. But it had Superman, Aquaman, all the characters really involved. Each one of them had moments, and you got to know them. It was a strong piece.
Do you guys wish...
Wow.
I mean, because now he is canon in the DCEU, this current universe. Do you guys wish that he wasn't so that he could be... John Stewart.
Well, that's the thing, is he had the brief appearance in Suicide Squad.
That's what I'm saying.
And he gone already.
Yeah, so it's like, does that pull him out of the running for anything?
I would say it definitely does if they respect themselves. However, do we wish that he wasn't out of the running so that he could be John Stewart? Is the question.
I mean, I think he does.
I think the fans would be completely on board. I don't think anyone would be upset. Like, you played Monster T, so no, you're in 17 seconds.
I don't think anybody would be super mad if he came back, especially considering he got that far. I mean, I really didn't know.
I would be mad.
He's got this little common knowledge.
Right?
I would be mad, not because I don't like him, but because, like, you decided to put him in the movie and then you killed him.
Point taken.
Yeah.
So.
But he's achieved that. I mean, he was always a brilliant musical artist. I was a huge fan of comedy.
I agree.
But he's achieved that level of clout, you know, in entertainment now and acting. You cast him as Jon Stewart, I don't think anyone would argue.
No, I know what you mean. Speaking of amazing musical talent.
Yes?
Oh.
That was my segue for you.
Coolio with the flow!
Gotcha.
Here's another fun story. Wow. Coolio apparently was going to play the Scarecrow in Batman 5.
What?
So he appeared in Batman and Robin.
Right.
Right? And
this is what he said about it. The only reason I did that part was because they promised me the villain part in the following Batman, which they didn't do because Joel Schumacher, they fired him.
Mm-hmm.
Me and him didn't get along that great anyway. In the next Batman, the villain was supposed to be the Scarecrow.
Which would be kind of weird, but then again, Schumacher didn't really care about following the comics too much because... You know, Scarecrow's character did not fit Coolio's persona at all. But he says that apparently the plan was for him to be a Scarecrow.
But, I mean, there was all the reports, though, that Schumacher said that if he had done Batman Triumphant, he would have had Nicolas Cage be Scarecrow.
Johnny.
So that's why I feel like Coolio probably, like, they were just like, all right,
say
Coolio.
The word, Johnny. Say the word.
You think Coolio's swerving?
I think it's a swerve.
I mean, I don't know what Coolio's up to now, but maybe he's swerving.
Maybe he's been swerving.
Yeah.
I don't want to, you know, maybe he's not swerving. Maybe he's just chilling, but maybe he's being Coolio. I don't know, but it sounds a little
just playing
swervy
a Coolio.
To me. Yes.
Yeah. So I just love...
I just feel like probably that was more of a conversation where they were like, okay, Coolio, like, maybe you can be in the next one. Scarecrow's going to be in the next one. And him just being like, yeah, I'll be Scarecrow.
Yeah.
Really interesting.
Schumacher doesn't like me, but it's okay.
It's chill.
So this next story I find fascinating. Did you know that there are two producers credited on literally every single Batman project? And no one knows who the hell they are.
This is insane. Yeah. This is one of the coolest stories ever.
Yes.
Bizarre.
Really good article on denofgeek.com this week. Michael Uslan and Benjamin Melnicker have producer credits on nearly 40 Batman films, but they only really worked on one, it seems. So I'm going to try and like... Did you read the story?
No, you got to do that in a more intense voice. Like, but they only really worked on one, it seems.
Michael Uslan and Benjamin Melnicker I have producer credits on nearly 40 Batman films.
Yes.
But they only really worked on one, it seems.
Yep, there we go. Nailed it.
Unsolved Mysteries. That's coming back, apparently. Anyway.
I liked it.
Yes, so here's the thing.
So let's solve this mystery. Who are these guys?
They're credited on every Batman movie since 1989. So Melnicker and Uslan were friends. They acquired the rights to bring Batman to the movies back in the late 70s. And he said in an interview, nobody else on the planet wanted them. So therefore, he's a comic book geek. They struck a deal with DC Comics. He just had all this foresight. So therefore, by the time Batman became a movie, it had to go through him, essentially. And they were involved in, the deal was, they had an agreement with the company, with Casablanca Productions, in November of 1979. That gave them both $400,000. The deal, in turn, would cost the pair their input, I guess. But they worked out a deal to where they always get a chunk of change for every single Batman project that comes out, even without doing anything.
Yeah.
Since forever.
Brilliant. They get a set amount, and they get the, I think, a 13% net. But the net is what got them, because they were able to say, we didn't make any net money off of... Like, the studio basically claimed that their net worth is zero, and that they...
Oh.
So they'd never had to pay them any of the net fees. But they've still gotten, you know, there's a quarter pretty... of $1 million. Oh, like, you every know, project. Every project.
They're getting six figures. And six figures and a credit is essentially what they signed off for.
They're like the people who bought real estate, like, in some little podunk nowhere, and then it blew up and became the hotspot city, and they just never have to do anything ever again.
Yeah,
it's like they bought property in Vegas back in the 30s.
Yeah.
Even now, buying property in Vegas.
Batman, yeah.
Even now, Vegas property is so much less expensive than here. I'm so jealous.
Yeah. So,
nothing to do with what we're talking about.
It's like they basically, yeah.
But yeah, that's crazy. It's just completely brilliant. Of these two guys. But yeah, they're even in the Lego Batman. They're credited.
Yeah.
Which I love, too,
because that was around the time that a bunch of fans were being brought on to different movies just for being fans of different things. Like, Star Trek, they had, like, Doug Drexler was brought in because he owned a, like,
a comic hard.
Book shop.
Yeah.
So that was around the time that when the comic book movies and the sci-fi, the whole genre was really coming up, that... That's when a lot of people made their mark, but these guys were just really smart because they signed the smartest contract they could have.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're just set forever.
Pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's some cool footage of Jason Momoa swinging a sword, doing some sword training for Aquaman.
He's jamming.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, because they're just like prepping and figuring it all out, it's not the sickest sword fight you've ever seen.
No.
But it's really cool to see the behind the scenes of how this all works and what
Anything
they're practicing on.
Perfect.
Yeah, and his back in that is just like, ooh.
I mean,
yeah.
It's more sword Hello. Fighting than more sword yeah. fighting than I do.
So. Yeah. Do we have that video? It's in the rundown.
If we get to it. If you can find it. Cool. But other than that, that's pretty much the news for the movies.
Yeah, it is. I mean, this was such a weird week. It was so weird. I know that we're going to be moving on to TV time, but I just wanted to look at this video
My belief that we are stuck in Earth 2, and this is not the right outcome that we were supposed to have for anything.
I don't know. it's titled Momoa's Sword Training for Aquaman, Swords of the Bottom.
I sent it in a separate email earlier today.
All right, well, if we don't have it, then we don't have it. We can go to TV time.
Yep.
Yeah. See, there is some good news.
Bam.
It definitely.
It's always good news.
Well, it kind of. I mean, there was no Flash and no Legends this week. Beggars can't be choosers.
Steven time!
At least what we got was good.
Yeah, definitely. So we got Arrow, we got Supergirl, we got Powerless. Powerless obviously airs later tonight, so up to this point, there have been two episodes of Powerless. I talked about the first one, how it was not my total bag, mm-hmm. But I was excited for where it potentially could go as an NBC comedy. The second one was better.
Mm-hmm.
I preferred it to the first one. It still didn't really grip me. Johnny, I know you checked it out. How'd you feel?
Well, first off, before we get to everything, Black Lightning, there is a little bit of news on that. The CW's new edition. All right. Supposedly, the story is going to follow a 40-year-old version of Jefferson Pierce, a high school principal who's given up on being the superhero, only to be drawn back into heroism once more when an L.A. gang war starts claiming lives of his students and putting his family in danger. So not a whole lot more besides that, but that's going to be the story behind Black Lightning. Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, we talked about that, and also how he has daughters, and potentially there'll be students in the high school and whatnot, so that will be interesting to see. Mm-hmm. But tell me about Powerless.
I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
Like, judging by the initial trailer, and the thing is, you can't judge things by a trailer, because there's a lot of trailers that looked amazing, and the product sucked, and then vice versa. But it's clever, funny writing. Now, episode 2 really didn't have much at all regarding superheroes. I mean, there's a fantasy draft.
That was cool.
But that's about it.
It was a cool premise.
It really, I mean, it was developing the team and the characters around them, and, you know, it was clever, it was funny.
All right, so we're kind of in on it. Moving on to Supergirl. So Supergirl is typically the most politically driven show of the week, which it was not this week compared to other shows. Yvonne in the chat wanted to know if I am shipping Kara and Mon-El. Obviously, I'm obsessed with them. I want them together so bad. I love this relationship, and I'm hoping that it works out. But I'm also, I'm loving a lot of relationships on this show. Johnny, I know you checked out this episode of Supergirl. How are you feeling about the show, and how are you feeling about the episode?
I actually, I'm a little behind, but I did watch this episode, and I mean, I've liked it since it came, you know, since the beginning, was on CBS, moving over to the CW, but, I just feel like it's got its footing now. It's got a strong footing. When you watch it now, a lot of it starts to make sense as far as superheroes go.
Like, yeah.
So for me, it was a lot more grounded than it was in season one, I think.
Yeah, and I'm invested in these characters, which I think is the most important part of it. I kind of am missing Kat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She's just so great, Calista Flockhart. I mean, I love her, but
she was kind of my favorite character, so...
I can't complain, because the show is...
It's not lacking in any way, but it's so...
That was a fun ending with the, I love you, whoever that guy is that showed up at the end.
I love you.
Yeah. I did the wrong accent.
We don't know what's going on there. Like, who are you and what are you doing and why have you come here? We don't know. But that show's doing really well. The show that got the most buzz this week by far, though, is Arrow. Arrow had a very, very politically driven show this week. For the other shows that we tried to not give too many spoilers, this one will probably get into a little bit of spoiler territory. So, spoiler alert. This episode decided to take on gun control, which was interesting because I feel like Arrow doesn't usually, and it's not like they took a stance one way or another, but I feel like when it comes to immigration or gay rights, we've seen that so much on the other shows, and Arrow has a little bit, but I loved this episode. I think Arrow has really come back to find its own, and it was interesting, the watching the two sides of the argument and all the characters kind of chime in, and some of the characters not want to be involved in a political climate like today. It's hard to avoid, and so they looked it dead in the eye.
It hit pretty hard.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It was interesting. It was really kind of upsetting and hard to watch because of what was going on, and you know, with all the shootings that have been going on, not just in the United States but across the world, and gun control being so prominent, and watching these people pass away, you know, that's tough. It's tougher to watch it on the news, but it's, when you're watching on the show, it feels too close to home and too real. And
think about, too, why, you know, these comic book characters were created in the first place is to highlight socioeconomic issues and political climates and things. And so now that we have the outlet of having these shows in our current situation, it's kind of cool to see how they're able to use that as a platform to highlight these issues and to make the public kind of more aware and to really get that conversation going.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I loved hearing Wild Dog's backstory and why he was in, why he believes so strongly that he should have the right to bear arms. And then I loved hearing other people's backstories, like the one who ended up being the villain of this episode, whose family had been killed and thought that there should be stricter gun, you know, everybody's got their stories. So I know people are chiming in from other countries that are like, they still don't understand American gun laws. I'm not sure that
we don't either,
really.
It's a mess.
Yeah.
It's a big old mess.
But, and also, having Thea back, She thank you, Tim. Talk about Willa slash Thea only having a contract of 14 episodes this year. She has been very, very missing, and it's been super apparent. And she was back this episode, and I think she brings such a needed energy. I love the sister-brother relationship that they have, and I love everything that she brings to the screen, and I missed her. So it was good to see her. Yeah, good to see her. She's got an interesting relationship going on with Lance. I had said that I thought that I saw it going romantic. Everybody kind of flipped out and was like, ew, what are you talking about? But
you're trying to ship them?
I'm not trying to ship them. Oh. I thought that that's the way the show was going, and I was confused. But it seems like they are just kind of... She's almost like his surrogate daughter at this point because he's lost so much. So that was good. And yeah, that's TV, 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 TV.
And that's it?
TV, TV.
Oh, let's get that video if we have it. Close it out with this. Strong.
Yeah.
No, he's wearing... He's shirtless, of course.
That's the best way...
Look,
to be if you're Jason Momoa.
Yeah. That back muscle, though.
Maybe got back.
He's got those rhomboids flowing. He's got those traps pumping. Oh, jeez. Just stop it, Jason. I like how the camera's above a box with, like, a hoodie on top. It's like someone's secretly taking the video.
Yeah.
I wonder how much of him will be doing this and how much of him will have a stunt.
I think he's going to be doing a lot of it.
I think he's going to be doing a lot of it. I mean, this is a man who throws tomahawks perfectly into bullseyes for fun.
Mm-hmm.
I can see him doing most of his own stuff.
Well, I'm loving our active chat today. You guys are killing it.
Very active chat. It's been, you know, I only had to block one person, so it's been a pretty good conversation.
Dang. All
the way through. Not too bad. Good job, everybody. So, yeah, that's the show. We are at DC Movies SK on Twitter, Facebook.com/DC Movies SK. Of course, follow Adam Gertler at Adam Gertler, and make sure you keep a lookout for everything he's doing. Mike Kalinowski at Mike Kalinowski, and of course, watch him on Jane the Virgin this week if you haven't seen it yet. Elena Jordan.
Hey, I'm Elena Jordan. You can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl.
That's right.
Also, you can find me on the website relativitypodcast.com. It's a sci-fi radio drama with Lee Shackelford from Star Trek Next Generation. So,
cool. I'm Roxy Stryer. You can find me at Roxy Stryer over at Screen Junkies Tuesdays, 4 p.m. for TV Fights and Fridays, 2 p.m. for Flash and Friends. So if you want to hear me really dive into DC TV this week, then make sure you check that out.
That's right. I'm at Jay Quasto. Let's see. Show's coming up. Oh, I'm going to be headlining The Punchline in Sacramento. Any NorCal people? I'll be there Wednesday, March 15th. Hit me up if you want info. Headlining the Brea Improv Wednesday, April 26th. I'll be recording for my brand new comedy album, which I'm already working on. It's going to be wacky and weird. If you love the DC Universe, you're going to like my album. It's not just stand-up. It's got commercials and music and weirdness. It's going to be wacky as hell, so I'm very excited to tell you more about it as we go down the road. But other than that, at Jay Quasto, JLoComedy.com. Love you guys. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Love you guys. Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
But
the views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.